All right, so I'm here with Whitney Wilson and Lita Brown. And before we get started, Lita, go ahead and tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay, my name's Lita, and I'm married to Alex. I have two boys and another boy on the way who's due in like a month, so I'm like dying. But yeah, that's me.
All right, and Whitney?
My name's Whitney Wilson. I'm married to Laney Wilson, and I have three kids, two girls and a boy, and just living my best life, stay-at-home mom, you know, rocking it, trying to do the best that I can do, and loving the Lord.
That's awesome. All right, so we're going to go ahead and jump right into it. So they are both type fours, and we're going to talk about when fours stress. So when y'all stress, y'all pull from, y'all go to the type two, the helper. So, Lita, what do you feel like you pull from the type two when you're in that kind of unhealthy or stressed feeling?
I definitely don't know how to say no. I can tell when I'm unhealthy because if I look at my calendar, I have so much more on my calendar for that month or months than I usually do. I'll say yes to great things, thinking that, you know, it'll be wonderful and make me feel like I'm doing great with my life. And then it's just not what I'm supposed to be doing at all.
Right.
So overscheduling myself, yeah, that's definitely the biggest one for me.
Yeah.
For me, with the type two, as I was looking into it, the type twos, when they are healthy and at their best, they are empathetic, caring, and generous. Unfortunately, fours tend to adopt the unhealthy aspects of the two. When we move towards the two, we might people please or become over involved in other people's business.
Yeah.
For me, like, I love people, and I want to be very connected to people, and can come even become possessive of some people that I feel really close to, and just wanting to be over the top helpful. What do you need? And I think sometimes it can be very uncomfortable for the other person if they're not accepting of it.
Yeah.
So when we're under stress, we tend to start helping people more than we normally do. As far as the stress we experience after helping others.
Yes,
oh yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, so sometimes I want to help people, and that is part of me, and a part of a lot of where I come from. I think of it scripturally, and it talks about is your heart in it.
Right.
And so, like, when I make decisions on if I'm gonna be able to help somebody or do something for somebody, I have to say, am I coming from a healthy place of, like, just in a loving, caring place, or am I in a place of feeling like I need to do this because I don't want them to think bad of me, or for it to look bad in any sort of a way?
Right. Yeah.
So that's where I go to.
Yeah, I can definitely agree, because my wing is a two, and I'll just overschedule myself. I'm like, yeah, sure, let's just do all the things. It's fine. And then I come home and I'm dead. And that's when my kids need me and my husband. I'm like, I don't want to do anything with y'all.
Or when you're in a bad mood and you're like, but I did such a great work. Like, why am I in such a bad mood? Why am I so stressed out and irritable? And well, it's because God didn't want you to do that.
Right,
so.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I felt like the Holy Spirit had just been telling me, Whitney, it doesn't matter if you're doing something that looks good to the outer eye, because what I'm looking at is the heart of the matter. And if your heart is angry and aggravated and you're not able to show my love to the people that you're around while you're doing what you're doing, then it's all for nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
so true. It's like the to-do list that you put before the actual person.
Right. Just to get things done. But yeah, that's really good. Okay. So when y'all are growing, type fours grow to a type one. And what do you pull from when you grow to a type one? I know you had some struggles with this, Lita, because you thought you were a one for a while. So
yes, so I was dead set that I was a one. Katie came to me first in a message and was like, "Hey, I think that you're a four," and I was like, "Ah, no, thanks." So
immediately, no.
Immediately, so I was like, "You know what? I'll just take this test," because she asked me to, And then I got the test done, and it still said 1, possibly 6, but I was like, I don't think that's right. And then Gretel, she messaged me also and was like, hey, I think that you are not a 1. And so we went through a bunch of stuff, and I resonated with the 4 the most. And so I just started reading stuff about it, and the whole time, I think I was in denial. I was like, no, I don't want to be a 4. And then when I said that, Gretel was like, well, that's a really 4 thing to say. what was the question?
What do you pull from?
What do I pull from?
Yeah, from the ones. Yeah.
I'm very productive. I like to get things done. I like for things to genuinely be the right way, the right thing. And I can come off bossy, or I can come off like very, what is it called?
Like demanding?
Yeah.
Listen, I'm not saying I see that. I'm just trying to help you out with the word.
Yeah. And
dictionary.
I'm like, help me with the positives. Okay, I'm a 4. Okay, I see negative stuff. Help me. But I guess those are the main things. But I can be very organized. I can just get things done. I can I don't know how to say it. All the oneness.
Yeah, I can definitely say, like, when you do your, like, your hand lettering or your signs or whatever, like,
yeah,
that's when your, like, perfectionism comes out, you know?
That's the one thing I forgot to say. That I definitely have that perfectionist type outlook on a lot of things. I will spend so much time on a sign that basically I've lost money instead of gained money, because I'm like, it's got this little speck on here, I can't send it out, you know? So definitely the perfectionist part.
Yeah.
For me, my sister calls me Tidy Tina, because I'm like, I want the remotes to be in order in the way that from smallest to biggest, like, I'm just like lining them up. And so I can be very OCD and anal with that kind of stuff. I love organization. I love everything has its place, and I put it in its place if you come and look at my fridge. Yeah. But my husband's a 1, so he helps me a lot in those areas, because when I'm unhealthy, I can tend to just be like, ugh, just forget it. I don't care. I don't care if the dishes are piled up. I don't care if my refrigerator is a mess. And then I'd have to go through a time of, like, redoing everything that was done. So, lucky for me that I have a husband that cares about organization, doing things that, like, a 1, truly, all the time. And so, he helps keep the things going, so that when I am in a healthy place, it's already happening, and I just kind of have to keep it going.
Right, yeah.
But I can also see, I was telling them earlier about when our oneness comes out fully is when we're comfortable in relationships. And so I can tend to be more bossy with people that I'm really close to, and normally I wouldn't be bossy, like with somebody that I felt like was inferior to me. I would tend to be more of the helper and go to my 2 and be like, okay, I just want to do whatever you want me to do. I don't want to make the decisions. I just want you to tell me. But then when I'm very comfortable, I can be more of the, this is how it needs to be done. Right. This is what we need to do. This is how we need to do it. And so I love the Enneagram just for being able to look at what's going on and see where I'm at.
Yeah, I agree on that. I think it's funny because a few years ago, obviously I didn't know what the Enneagram was, and when we were hanging out, like, you would always come over and be like, all right, let's do some laundry, let's do something. And I'm like, oh, come on. Like, you're always like, let's clean, let's do this, let's do that. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I didn't realize then, obviously, you know, I didn't know, but it's funny looking back, like, I can totally see that 1 coming out and doing all the things.
Well, and I think I feed off of people, and I don't know if that's part of a 4, but, like, I can tend to, or if it's just my personality, I don't know where that comes in at.
Yeah.
But I feed off of people's personalities and emotions.
Yeah.
And so I guess it is a 4 thing, because definitely I can, emotions. If I walk into a place and I can feel tension, or if somebody's stressed, or if or if somebody's frustrated, I can pick up on those emotions. Yeah. I have to be very intentional with not. And so I think in a lot of those situations, like when I would come over to you, I know that you love to have things done and productive, and I knew that you were a one. And so it was more easy for me to just, as I stepped into your house, to, like, step into my one.
Right,
like,
yeah.
I am stepping into a one's house, and I'm going to step in that role, and I'm going to be still the helper. Yeah. I want to help her be her one. I want to help her get done, because I know how it is having kids. And at that time, you were keeping other people's kids after school, and you were getting kind of things in your house where you wanted it, and you were in kind of a tight space at the time, so you were trying to get things organized, and I was like, I just want to help, and I'm going to tap into this one and be the best helper I can be.
And I think it's funny because, like, so I am a one, but I go to fours, and so, like, I would be all up in my emotions just not wanting to do anything, and then you were growing to your one, and you're like, no, we're getting this done. I'm like, but so I don't want to. Yeah, like, we literally would switch, and, like, you'd just take control, but that's funny thinking about that. Okay, so now we're going to talk about wings. So for fours, you can either wing to the three or the five, and, you know, you can definitely pull from both. But which one do you think you pull more from?
I think I definitely pull more from the wing three, because I just feel like they can be more ambitious and a little bit more outgoing, a little bit more social. And when I'm unhealthy, you can't tell that that would actually be there. But when I am healthy, I am pretty outgoing and pretty social in my own four way.
Yeah.
As, you know, as much as a four can possibly be, I guess. But I'm still trying to figure out a little bit more about the threes. Right now, I'm trying to figure out everything about the fours since I've only known for like a month. And, yeah, I just don't think I resonate with a five. They're more withdrawn, and I don't feel like I'm, you know, more withdrawn than a lot of other fours. I don't know.
Yeah.
I guess it's just a little bit more discovery that needs to happen.
Right, yeah. Well, I'm the same way with my wings. I feel like I don't have pull from the nine at all, so I definitely think. And it's like coming when certain situations arise, you might see like, oh, I'm kind of being a five or whatever. But I think it's like 1% for me.
Yeah. Well, you know, the fours, they say, just in four nature is to withdraw. And I do that. So, I mean, so I can do that, especially if I'm stressed out or anything. But, you know, once I'm a little bit more healthier, I'm not going to sink into that withdrawing state too much.
Right. Yeah.
I think I pull from both. I think it depends on if I'm healthy and in my one, or if I'm in my, growth. I think it's called growth. When you're in your growth and I'm in my one, or if I'm in my stress, which is the two. I feel like, when I'm in my two, I can be, I'm a, like in the fives, because the four's creativity and the five's investigative nature makes for a quiet, makes for quite the daydreamer, which I'm definitely a daydreamer. Like,
but yeah, before I even knew about the Enneagram, you would always say that. Like,
I'm like all in
always,
my head.
Yeah.
Always in my head. When combined as a four wing five, usually quieter than others, fours, a four wing five can surprise you with their emotional depth, though. So I feel like when I'm stressed to a two, I tend to be more quieter, more investigative, more just kind of observing, kind of daydreaming, and just kind of sitting back. And, you know, I feel like I try to, I guess I'm better at listening to the Holy Spirit too, because then I'll only speak out if I feel like the Lord, like the Holy Spirit's like, I need you to talk. Otherwise, I'm going to be in the corner and I'm going to be hiding.
Yeah.
But when I'm more in a healthier place, with my one wing, I feel like I can be more of the three, which is more outgoing, ambitious, social, competitive, and more dominant with my three side.
And it makes sense that you would pull from those when you're in your growth or stress, like, you know, because three is more, like you said, dominant and everything, and that's when you're going to go to your one. Mm-hmm. So it definitely makes sense.
Yeah.
And that's the first time I think anyone's ever said it like that, and I really like that, how you can kind of pair those together.
Yeah, that's when I first saw it. Well, first off, I like to look for the deeper meaning of things, and so I was just like digging in. I was like, I can see both of these, but I can't see me using them both at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, I can't, unless I'm stepping into one room where I'm more confident with, yeah, like, my closest friends, and then stepping into another room where there's the President of the United States, and then I can see at the time where I would swap over.
Like, yeah.
Okay, I'm obviously not going to need to talk now.
Right.
You know? Or I'm going to come in, and I'm just really excited because I'm with my girlfriends, and we're going to have we don't have kids, and we're just going to be loud, and we're going to be ourselves.
Yeah.
And then I think I pull from the
three. Yeah.
I get them confused.
Yeah.
So when we have that August attendance challenge at the gym, you remember last mm-hmm. year? Mm-hmm. I feel like that was my threest of three moments.
Yeah, your top three.
It was like, I'm going to be here 2 to 3 times a day. I'm going to beat all y'all.
Don't do that. You'll get burnt out, especially if you're a 4.
That's what, actually, speaking of the gym, I've because of this, it's made me analyze a lot of other things that I normally, even though I tend to look at the past a lot, it's mostly more relationships that I look to the past at. I don't look at past Whitney and how I made the decisions.
Mm-hmm.
And so I start thinking, so I started a gym way back when I had Lydia, and I went for 6 months and then I quit. And so I guess I started another gym. After I was out of that gym for 6 months, I wanted to start another gym.
Mm-hmm.
And so then I started that gym and only went for 6 months. And then I was like, I'm done. I need to. So I'd take a break. It was supposed to be a short break. Then 6 months go by.
Right.
And then I'm at the 6 month mark again. I'm like, oh no, I got to get back at the gym. And I'm like, okay, so 6 months. I'm going to need to write myself a letter and say, Whitney, in 6 months, you're going to not want to go back to the gym.
Yeah.
I want to go back to the gym, so please keep going. Because I just get to this place, and I was like, oh, so 6 months is my thing. My max hit of, like, I can do something for 6 months.
Right.
And then I'm going to need a change of scenery.
Yeah.
So, anyway, I thought that was funny.
Yeah.
That is crazy, though, that you say that the different gyms and stuff, because I've done the same thing. I want to say that I've tried probably about 3 or 4 gyms.
I've tried all in the area. If you need a question, I've loved them all. Like, I really have. But one has seemed to, and I won't even say the names of any of the gyms, but the one gym that has kind of just, it's been, this is for me, and this might mm-hmm. just be for me for this season. But the people and the time and the class at that time is just where I'm supposed to be right now.
Yeah,
it's like where you fit in.
All gyms in the Gardendale area I have loved. So if you want to try any gym, they're all wonderful.
You're right.
That's why little things like that where I see that we're more alike than we are unalike, mm-hmm. for sure.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I think that's that 3 right there.
Yeah, I can definitely see 3s in both y'all, because y'all are so competitive.
You're more outgoing than I am, though.
Yeah, it depends on, like, I'm sitting here with y'all, so obviously my energetic side is coming out through this mic, that if I saw the people listening, I would be back in the corner. Like, I'm not going to speak.
I wouldn't show up, honestly.
All right, so what do you think, feel like, is a common misconception about a top 4?
We see these memes all the time about type 4 and how we're like, you know, we're crying over our french fries, or, you know, we're just super sad.
It and doesn't mean we wouldn't cry over our french fries, but not all the time.
Especially with me being 35 weeks pregnant.
Right.
I don't know. Love me some french fries.
If we've had a really hard day, like the fries being messed up might cause us some problems. And and I'm not meaning to interrupt you because I want you to finish. But I will say that happened to me in softball. Like, I was playing a softball game, but I had been flicked off by another car, hurt my feelings. Another situation had happened with a relationship that was just like, I was just getting really emotional about that. And then, like, I just felt like all these things were happening in one day. So I go to play softball, and I get hit with the ball going to first base.
That was it.
And, like, the ball didn't even really hurt me.
It was
it did leave some marks. But, like, I just, like, at this point of like, I gotta get this out. And so this is my opportunity.
Yes.
And I just lay there and I just start crying. And I'm like, it's not even my cousin the mom, but I don't want to tell these people that. Like, I just had a really bad day.
It's that build up. Let me see. Oh, yeah. Just that, you know, people probably think that we're sad all the time or depressed all the time.
Yeah.
And it's not that we feel the sadness more deeply than other emotions. It's just that we feel everything all the time to a degree that maybe other numbers don't. And so, I mean, I can feel the joy. I could probably feel the joy more than another number can. But maybe one thing that sticks out the most is the sadness.
Yeah, yeah. It is portrayed that fours are just in a dark corner crying all the time.
Melancholy all the time.
Right.
I will say, though, sometimes we do turn on music that's sad just because we like it.
Listen, I can agree with all this because I stress to a four, so, like, literally some days I'll just sit here and I'll be thinking about something. I'm just start crying. I'm like, what is going on right now? But I have to cry. I have to let everything out.
I love getting in my car and just turning on music and driving places and going down weird roads that I've never been down before and being like, where does this go? And I just want to listen to sad music or whatever, you know? I'm just like, I don't know where I'm at and I'm just going to cry.
The other thing is that fours get this bad rap for, like, that nothing will satisfy us or nothing's ever, you know, good enough or... And I can be satisfied with things, so...
Yeah.
Well, for me, I don't know if anybody has actually saw this, but on Facebook a while back, it asked for three characters that describe your personality.
Mm-hmm.
And I prayed about it. And I was like, Lord, I really want to know because I'm a daydreamer. I love movies. Literally, I would be an actor. And,
I'm totally opposite.
I would do... I mean, I just love movies. I love to watch them. I love finding mistakes. I love trying to figure out what the plot is before it gets there.
Mm-hmm.
And so, anyways, but I was just like, I really want to know my three characters. And so, one of them was Ariel. And as you know, Ariel always wanted to have legs. Mm-hmm. Obviously, something she wasn't created for. She wanted to be there. And so... I do tend to see the side of me that's never quite satisfied, that I'm always ready for the next step. I always want something more. I get to a certain place. But for a long time, I looked at it negatively. And finally, I was just like, gosh, this is horrible. And I was just talking to the Holy Spirit, like praying, like, Lord. And I felt like the Holy Spirit was just like, Whitney, you weren't created for this world.
Yeah.
You're not satisfied because you're supposed to be in constant communication with me,
right?
Constant relationship with me, and here you're separated from me,
yeah,
a little bit. Like, I mean, I have the Lord in me, but I just felt like I was just I look forward to the day when I'm just with Christ fully, and so I feel like I try to find things here that would satisfy me in relationships and just stuff, and none of that is actually eternal,
right? Yeah,
my godly relationships are eternal.
Right.
Because they're coming with me. They're going to be in paradise with me in heaven.
Yeah.
But as far as everything else here, it is not eternal. So it makes sense that I wouldn't be satisfied
that's good.
With the things that I'm putting in me.
Yeah.
And so that's part of it. Now, part of the four being melancholy, I think it comes down to not being sure of ourselves. When I'm in a place of health and security and feeling like I'm where I'm supposed to be, this is what I'm supposed to be doing, but then if I do something wrong, I feel I have this shame, this inner critic from the one. I'm like, I guess. Where I'm just like, you're horrible. You're a horrible mother. And that's where the enemy kind of plays with me a lot. Like, mm-hmm. he's just like, yeah. And he just kind of stokes that fire a little bit, mm-hmm. where I just tear myself down.
Mm-hmm.
So I think a lot of the melancholy for me comes from just self-doubt, not being sure of myself, not being sure of relationships because I feel like I'm replaceable. I don't feel like, I feel like other people, they could find somebody better than me. They could definitely have a friend that's probably better than what I am.
Yeah.
And so I think that's where it comes in. And so it that part of the four of just not being confident in yourself all the time and just having to really go back and say, okay, my value comes from the Lord,
mm-hmm.
not from my emotions, not from what I think people think about me. Okay, fours are intuitive. And I feel like I do have that. I actually was watching a Friends episode, which they say Phoebe is that. And there was an episode where she was like, she was doing something. And she was like, oh, that's telling him that you don't really have another woman, do you? And I wished I could have the clip. Can you like place this clip in there where she's like talking? But anyway, I was like, oh my gosh, that was such a four thing, what yeah. she did. So yeah. now when I watch Friends, I'm like looking at her and thinking about the fours. And he was like, you're good. Because she's like, hit the nail right on the head. Yes. And he was like, but can you not tell them? You know, and she was like, tell them what? No, seriously, I might be intuitive, but I can't remember.
Oh, my God.
And I was like, oh, my gosh, that is so funny. Because if we go back to that little thing of my personalities, my three characters, it was actually Ariel and Dory. And so, like, I forget things. Actually, before we started, I was telling Katie, I was like, we probably need to turn this on because we're talking about a lot of things that I probably should be talking on the podcast.
Yeah.
And I'm going to forget it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm very forgetful, too. I wonder if that's...
I don't know.
Is that part of the four?
I don't know.
So, okay, going back to what you said about, like, you feel like you're replaceable and stuff like that in friendships, it's crazy because, like, I didn't really realize it until hearing you talk about it, and that's what I love about talking about the Enneagram. Like, I'm not saying it saves lives, whatever, but, like, I seriously love it because it helps me figure out a lot of stuff, yeah. So... Do you feel like when you have a close friend and they not get another friend, but, you know, they have other friends, obviously.
Yeah.
Do you start to feel like, oh, crap, I'm going to get replaced? I'm like, it makes you nervous. Like, because that's how I am. And I didn't realize it until you said it. If my friends start talking or hanging out with someone else, I'm like, oh, okay, so we're not friends anymore. And, like, I'll secretly get hurt and there's nothing behind it. But I just... act like they're, I don't know.
Well, I actually read about that, where you can be aloof,
but I don't know what that means.
Kind of like, I don't care.
Okay.
Oh, I don't care.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, like, it's part of, I think, a defense mechanism, because, obviously, fours are very emotional, so we care.
Yes.
Yes.
But I feel like I do that, but at the same time, because I'm so hard on myself, I'm not hard on that other person.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
I'm hard on myself. What did you do? You know?
Yeah.
And then I analyze, well, what's the last thing we talked about? What's the last thing we did?
Yeah.
Because I value relationships so much, and I value all relationships I've ever had.
Mm-hmm.
I think about all the people that I've ever had a friendship with or anything. Like, I think about them, and I usually try to just point that into prayer and pray right. for them and say, when I think about them, instead of feeling like, I must have hurt them, I must have did something wrong, and making it about myself mm-hmm. and being selfish about it. I try to say, well, Lord, you had me in there. You had us in that relationship for that season for a reason.
Yeah.
And I do love that person. And I wish we still had every relationship that I've ever had, friendship-wise, whether they moved away or they went to a different church and we're just not as close anymore. Yeah. I try to be like, okay, it has nothing to do with me. And mm-hmm. it's not an attack directly on me.
Right.
It has more to do with the season that God has me in. And even though I want to have all these relationships all at one time, but I think that comes with a two-two. My two
yeah,
side
oh,
of it.
Definitely.
Because
yeah.
I start thinking, like, I want all the relationships.
Right.
I want to be in a relationship with you, and I want to help your relationship here. And my emotions get involved, and I'm just all in. And mm-hmm. then when that relationship is kind of either pulled away or placed to the side or just not as close, I start thinking, oh, I did something wrong. And so
mm-hmm.
that's my side of it. I don't know if that answered that question.
Yeah, definitely. And, like, I feel like that's where me being a one comes in, because I do the same thing, but I turn it on them. Because I'm a one, so I'm like, no, I do everything right. I know it's not me. I'm perfect, and it's their loss, so bye. Like,
and I guess, is that the confident side of the one? Is that, like, well, but I guess we grow to the healthier
yeah.
one. So is that the unhealthier side of the one? Because I won't ever say that I ever feel like I got it all. Now, maybe I do with, like, my husband. I'm like, well, listen, I know, you know.
Right.
But I don't feel like I'm that way with anybody else.
No, oh, I can have...
And he says I'm argumentative with him, and I'm like, I don't see that, because I don't feel like I'm that way with anybody else, but...
Just with him.
Maybe yeah. just with him.
Yeah. No, I can, like... My life can be a complete disaster, and I walk into a room, I'm like, yeah, I got it all together. Like, yeah, I'm perfect, so...
But just like, don't go into my house.
Right. I'm perfect. Just don't ask me any questions. I'll probably start crying, and... But, yeah, like, I'll never tell the person, like, and it could be literally for one day, I have these thoughts of, we're not even friends anymore, and, like, they're lost, like, whatever, I didn't do anything, it's them. Mm-hmm. But it just, like, it creeps in, and then I deal with it, and then it's gone. But I think it's so funny talking about that. I never realized that I did that.
When you mentioned crying, which is not part of the questions that we were talking about, but when you mentioned crying, I started thinking, like, that's, like, a big thing for a four is feeling shame when you cry mm-hmm. or getting upset or emotional, and how people say you're sensitive, and you just start feeling shame for crying.
Yeah.
And I can definitely relate where I have felt that way at times. Now I don't, but I think it affected me in such a way that I don't cry. I prayed about it. I was like, Lord, don't let me cry. If somebody gives me a microphone and they want me to tell a knock-knock joke about or tell a story about my cat, I'll cry just from the overload of emotions of all these people looking at me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Just, I just start weeping, and I'm like just talking about my cat grabbing a toy and throwing it. I'm so emotional, and like yeah, so, I have felt shame for crying about things, or like let's just say we're in like a group setting of a Bible study, and I start talking about something that's very personal to me, and I start crying. I would start feeling shame and be like, "Don't cry, you know, you don't mm-hmm. have to cry, you know." And so I don't cry as much, but when I do cry, I don't feel that shame. But I yeah. think it's also coming to a place of knowing, okay, I am very emotional, and that's okay. But I need to be able to contain it, to be able to help other people out, too.
Yeah.
If I'm over there, bawling my eyes out and can't even talk, then yeah. how am I helping people?
Right.
And so my prayer was like, Lord, don't ever let me cry. It was, Lord, help me to be able to communicate well
mm-hmm.
so that I can help people.
Yeah, that's
and
good.
Not let my emotions flood me in such a way that I can't even help somebody.
Yeah.
I think that's where self-pity comes into play, too, because that's what fours can be known for is, you know, well, first of all, self-centered, and, I mean, as a four, it's hard not to be self-centered when you're feeling everything all the time, and yeah. you feel like nobody understands that, but with self-pity, you know, if you're starting to feel all these things at one time, and you want to express them, you don't want to just keep it to yourself. And, you know, a lot of it can be negative. So when you are, like, say, at small group and you're talking about some pretty heavy stuff or, I mean, even maybe not, but it can almost, you know, come off as like, you know, you want someone to pity you or, you know.
You just start feeling misunderstood. Immediately when you start talking, they're not going to understand, but I'm going to try to, yeah. like, let this out because right. I felt like I needed to like share and yeah. then you just start talking and you're like, they don't understand.
Yeah.
And I'm weird and I'm emotional and I'm crazy. And so like all these things I definitely
And that's where I see too where the withdrawing can come in for me is because if I feel like someone's not understanding me well or if, you know, maybe it seems like I'm playing my little violin over here real sad, I'll just withdraw because I feel like they're not receiving it well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then that leads to isolation, and that's not good, so don't do that.
Yeah. And I think, speaking of that, because they talk about fours being, like, kind of, what is it, like, just, you said, I don't know, what did you say just now?
Withdrawn, isolated.
I feel like I can do that in both stress and growth,
mm-hmm.
but it's different.
Yeah.
In growth, I feel like I do it in a healthy way where instead of being gone and doing all this stuff, I've got to have my time in the Word, and I can try to be more structured and like being intentional about, hey, I'm going to be at home and I'm not going to surround myself with people. Then there's the other side, because I told people if I'm like not getting around y'all, it might be because I'm unhealthy. But then I saw it. No, sometimes it's because I'm in a healthy place.
Right.
Other times when I'm stressed, I can recluse, and I'm sitting on my couch eating everything and watching Netflix.
Yes, same. Yes.
And I am just putting myself in all these, like, emotions and, like, trying to get out of my head and get into the show, because I literally feel like I can actually step out of my body and into the TV and be a part of something separate from what I'm having to deal with.
Yeah.
And so that's why I love movies and, like, just shutting my brain off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, that's me too, and that's why I like to stay home a lot. It's unnatural, and I tried for so long to be this person, but I'm not. I'm not the person that wants to go out and do all of these things, and, you know, I'm not a partier. I don't like TV. I don't like a lot of these other things, and I would much rather, you know, listen to music and paint or one of, you know, something like that instead.
Well, and some of the things that they talk about with a four is, like, writing and, like, all these things, reading and just, like, all these things. I was like, for the longest, I said I hate writing and I hate reading. But there's this also this thing that they talk about in a four, and let me try to see if I can pull up the name of it. But I'm going to talk about it, and then I'll tell you the name of it when I get there. But, like, people would tell me, like, you don't spell well. Like, you're not good at it. And so then I would be like, well, now I'm going to take that on, what you just said. I'm going to take on that as some of my identity.
Right.
And I'm going to say, I'm not good at this. And I'm just going to tell everybody that before so that you won't be able to say that about me. I'm just going to go ahead and tear myself down and go ahead and say I'm not good at it. But this is called interjection. So that's what it's called, where when people say things over you and you take it on as your identity. And I don't know if they have that for every number. I follow four-ish and I know it with I don't even remember the girl's name. But she talked about this and I was like, oh my goodness. So now I've said that I don't like reading and I don't like writing. And if I wasn't good at it naturally, I didn't want to do it.
Right.
Yeah.
But I love reading. And I love writing. And yeah, I'm not confident in those things. But even though I'm not confident in it, and I feel like I'm a horrible speller and all these things, it still does something to me as a four to just get it out of my head and on paper and seeing it in black and white.
Yeah.
Because I see things in black and white, right and wrong. And I don't tend to do that a lot. I tend to see it in different colors, like grays and just different. Everything's different for me. So that when I see it on paper, I recognize a lie a lot better than when it's in my head and all these emotions are fueling all these things. No, I'm not good at it. And the inner critic in my head. But when I write it down and I say, this is what's been said over me, and then I compare it with what God says about me, I can say, oh, that's a lie.
Yeah, that's good.
And when she started talking about that on the Enneagram 4, should I know it, on Instagram, I was like, oh my gosh, that is so good.
Yeah, that's really good. I didn't put this in there, but I've been asking everyone, what, if you could choose a different number, what would you be? Or would you stay a 4?
I'd stay a 4.
Okay. Lena?
Well, I mean, I didn't really want to be a 4 in the beginning, but now that I'm in a pretty healthy place in my life, so I'm seeing the positives more than the negatives.
Yeah.
I can see where a lot of the positives in my life that I've completely ignored, like my creativity, like my ambition for things, were the depth of seeing and being able to see the beauty in things that maybe someone else will completely pass over. I mean, I think I like being a 4. And plus, also like the aesthetic part.
Yeah.
I like to decorate and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I think I would stay a 4, but everybody keeps talking about the 7s, and I like kind of want to dip in there and see what it's like.
That's such a 4 thing to say. Everyone's talking about it, so let me do it.
Right.
Yeah, that's, I like that. And I think, because people do have a bad outlook on 4s, and they think, oh, they're just so emotional and everything. But, like, hearing y'all talk, there's so much good. Like, y'all, it seems like y'all are both in a healthy spot being a 4. Y'all recognize these things. You can take charge of these sorry, these things. And like, I think it's really awesome because y'all are so in tune with your emotions. And because I stress to a four, I'm not. It just all comes out and I don't know how to control it.
Mm-hmm.
But being in tune, like, I would love to be in tune with my emotions, and I'm just not.
And that's what I've told people in the past. Like, God gave us emotions. And I feel like emotions are reminders of how much we need God.
We shouldn't be ashamed of it.
And I feel like emotions also remind us to pray. First off, when I'm angry, anger in and of itself is not a sin, but when we act out in anger, that is where the sin steps in. But when you're able to pray through the passion of the emotion of anger to God,
mm-hmm.
it's a different prayer than just me being, I don't care, let me pray. Or let's just say somebody's told me something and my heart breaks for them and what they're going through, and I'm able to pray from a place of passion and love for this person in a way that some other numbers, because they tend to shut off their emotions and they don't want to feel their emotions, can't do it.
Yeah.
So that's one thing that I love about being a four is that even though it can be very overwhelming, the emotions, and having to figure out what emotions are actually true, because my identity doesn't come through my emotions. So I have to remind myself, hey, this emotion is a reminder for me to talk to God, give it to God, and not hold on to it, carry it around myself. Because I remember one time somebody's like, a long time ago, I was probably still in high school, they're like, you're like a burden bearer. And I was like, what? I don't think I like the sound of that. But it was just like, because I can pick up on other people's pain as it was my own and just be like, man, and I don't have to fix it.
Right.
I can sit in it.
Yeah.
And just be in it with them. And I'm not scared of going emotionally deep with people.
Yeah, that's good.
And I don't know. You're probably about to ask another question, aren't you?
No.
Well, what I was going to say is, like, I see the importance of being emotionally deep with people, but I also see where, like, there can be basically like a level or like a threshold to where it's healthy for you and where it's, you know, below that threshold where it's now unhealthy for you, because we can take on a lot and we can take on everybody else's stuff and we can sit here and pack it on us, you know, like heavy, wet mud and not be able to move, you know, in the direction that God wants us to move in because we're so busy doing everything else that everyone else is going through.
And I think that's when it's in our unhealthy place of being the two and being the helper, because when we're in a healthier place, we're able to say, I can't do anything about this. I can feel it, and I can give it to the Lord, and I can and I can lay it down and say, God, this is yours. I can't do anything about it. I remember when I spoke at my dad's church, and I haven't really spoken in a big crowd like that. I was just like, the enemy just started saying things like, you've got to save them. And I was like,
that's exactly what I do.
Yeah. I can't save them. And that was like exactly what I said out loud. I was like, I'm so, and I just started thanking the Lord, like, thank you, God, that is not my responsibility.
Yeah.
That you sit on the throne and all you ask me to do is open my mouth for you to save them.
Yeah.
And to use me as an instrument. And so,
It's just knowing that balance of where it can go, can be unhealthy, and where it is currently healthy, because I know I've put myself in lots of situations where, like taking on a lot of things, or, you know, just opening small little doors that go into other little doors. And then the next thing you know, you're in this unhealthy situation or season and you don't know how to get out of it.
Yeah.
Right.
That was one thing that I was reading about, of like going deep for a four. It's okay when you come out with a new perspective and the truth. But sometimes we can go so deep that we're drowning. And we don't know how to get back out. We've opened a door. I liked how you said that. Because you can go into a door and you're digging deep. But then if you keep going into doors, then I'm in a pit and I start decorating it. Because I'm like, I'm just going to try to make this work. Because I don't know how to get out of this. I've done went too far into these emotions and like the past. And like, because it says in the Word, don't dwell on the past. Don't think about the past. Mm-hmm. So that's one thing that I hate, not hate, but dislike, I guess, about my number is because I'll be in the past and not even know it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I see.
Yeah, and I'm like, need to get out of here. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't want to look to the future. I want to look where I'm at. And I want to be where I'm at. And I want to be satisfied where I'm at with my relationship with the Lord. Because at times it looks different. But another thing that I love about being a four is, like, when I see certain things, like, I want to find deeper meaning. And not just deeper meaning, but deeper meaning of what God is trying to remind us of. I feel like everything around us is reminders. And I love that. I've been digging into that scripture about nothing is new. Everything that's happened has happened before. It's scriptural. Yeah. You might look at something and say, oh, that's new. Well, it's not.
No.
It's not new because it's happened before.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, when I see birds, I don't know what birds they are that flies in V's. Is that geese? I don't know what
There's several that do.
But anyways, when I see birds flying in V, I just think that's them declaring that God has been victorious over. He's victorious. He's won. It's over. Like, and when Jesus died, he said, what did he say? I can't remember. It just left my mind. He says, it is finished. It is finished. It's done. It's over. I've won.
Yeah.
I'm victorious. And I'll see, like, a bird fly from this tree to another tree. And I'm like, oh, and, like, this revelation will happen. Like, the Lord can speak to me through anything. And I love that.
Yeah.
It makes me so happy. Like, I'll just start laughing and be like, that is so awesome. Then to try to explain it sometimes to a one, my husband, he's kind of like, okay, that's cool.
It's so funny just thinking about past stuff because literally all the time you would see something and be like, oh, that's like this in the Bible. I'm like, what are you talking about? like, that's such a four thing.
Let me explain. Okay, let me try. Here, put on the four shoes for a second.
I love that.
I didn't know once went to a stress to a four. That's new information for me.
Yeah, so I'm trying to, when I'm in that unhealthy place, to let out my emotions in a good way, but I painted once, but that was once. So
writing, I think one of the best ways for a four would be writing. Yes, I think painting is good. I think it lets out emotion. But again, I feel like when you can see what you're dealing with in black and white, and you start, especially for your one, I think it would help, like, seeing what you're writing, and you'd be like, this is ridiculous.
Yeah, and I think I'm kind of scared of that, too, like, actually writing it down and facing my emotions.
Yeah.
Because I am when I'm...
And real quick, I brought this book, just to shout out Victorious Emotion by Wendy.
I cannot even read that.
Okay, well, I don't know either. Let's see if I can look at the
And I can, like, put it in here.
Blackland?
I don't know.
Backland.
Yeah, B-A-C-K-L-U-N-D. Sorry, guys, we can't read.
I'll tag it in here so
you can find it. But anyway, it's a really great book. It's really short chapters, like literally like 4 to 5 pages, and you're done. And it's almost like you just need to read one chapter and reflect on that for like a month.
Yeah.
Literally, I'm just reading it. And I know there's other books for the Enneagram numbers that are really good that I've heard about that I have not read because I've got like 4 books going already. And I'm like, when I get done with these, I'll pick up another one. But I've really enjoyed this Victorious Emotions, and because all of us, every number has emotions.
Right.
Fours are more emotional and more in tune with their emotions, but we all deal with emotions in a healthy or unhealthy way.
Right.
Depending on where we're at. And so reading a book on emotions isn't just for fours, it's for all numbers, because we need to learn how to deal with our emotions because we have them.
Right. Yeah, that's good. I like that. So Whitney kind of touched on her favorite part. What's your favorite part about being a four?
Oh, you know, just like, I have to do it by example. When we went to the beach, I think it was last year, and then there was 4 of us, and we stood at the end of this pier, and it was so dark. You remember?
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
And then, I mean, it was, you couldn't see lights in front of you at the end of the water or anything. And, like, I just felt like I drew in so much from that moment, and it was one of my favorite moments. And I felt like I could really be in tune with with God and just how great He is and how He makes things beautiful, even though they're not lit up and sparkly and perfect.
Yeah.
And just sitting there, like, in the darkness and seeing pretty much nothing but, you know, having to trust God. Like, seeing little things like that and the beauty of things that are passed over.
Right, yeah.
How many times do people take pictures of sunsets? You know, if you post a picture of a sunset, how many likes you gonna get? Two? But I can sit here and look at a sunset all day long and be like, wow, like, God, He's so amazing.
Right, yeah.
I was doing a VBA, Vacation Bible School, and I had to make a sky. Like
paint it?
No, like, get, like, I think I got, like, a tablecloth, like those plastic tablecloths, mm-hmm. and then, like, was getting, like, making those puffy ball things, you know? And I was like, I thank the Lord that He ain't gonna make a sky like this, because this is taking forever. I'm using staples and tape, and they're, like, having to hover, you know what I mean? So I'm, like, having to get them to the ceiling, and, like, I was like, this is hard. But I was like, God makes skies very beautiful, and I can't do that. I'm just not God.
Yeah, that's my favorite. Even if it's nature, scenery, sometimes you just look at animals, and a lot of people think, oh, animals, they don't have feelings, or, you know, they can't feel anything, and, you know, you see the way animals can react to you, they know where their food bowl is, they know you know, when their ears are back, you know what that means, or just little things like that, where some people will be like, oh, this dumb cat, and I'm over here like, this beautiful, majestic animal.
Well, yeah. One thing
just
about
creation in general, I just love that, and it really speaks to me.
Yeah, I like that.
One thing that this is going back to the question of what we don't like about before, because I just remembered.
Yeah.
It goes back to, like, just indulging in things. Is that a word? Indulging?
Yeah.
Like, if I'm in a place, I'm going to overeat. Right. Like, I'm just going to
overindulging?
Yeah, like, I'm going to go crazy. Even with working out. Like, I'll be like, I'm going to go 6 days, 7 days a week. I'm going to do it every day. I'm going to walk a mile. I'm going to do this every day. You know, just like, then I get burned out.
Oh, yeah. I get burned out, too, for the same reason.
But, like food, just anything that you can overdo.
Yeah.
I can tend to do it. If I'm at Olive Garden and they bring those little breads out, I literally look at them and say, I will look whoever's on it. I only want to eat one.
Mm-hmm.
So I need you to move the rest of them far away from me, because I will eat them all. If I do one, that's it.
I think that's why I don't do certain things. Like, I can't have ice cream in the freezer. I think it's that I choose not to watch TV because I know I can overindulge.
I get that too.
Yeah.
That was a good example, because I do that too. When I sit down,
like,
and I'm doing it.
Fixer Upper or HGTV?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Oreos? If there's Oreos in my house, I'm not going to eat one. I'm going to eat a whole sleeve.
Yeah, girl, the whole thing would be gone for me.
So we don't even buy it. But anyway, I just want to throw that in there, just in case you fours don't recognize that that's like a four thing. It's definitely a four thing.
Yeah.
Overindulging, and the result is burnout.
Yeah, that's good. Well, this has been really awesome. Thank you all so much for doing this.
You're welcome.
You're welcome.
We're happy to be here. This is fun.
Yeah, it was really good. Thank y'all.